My mother started telling me to take responsibilities for myself when I clocked 16. It felt strange. I was used to people getting my things sorted out for me. At school, while I was still in secondary school, my mother would tell my brother to drop by at my school to pay my school fees. At the beginning of each term, my mother herself would travel down to the market to buy me new bags and socks and books and stationery. When she started telling me to go buy things by myself, to go fetch things by myself, to start telling myself anything that happens to me was my fault, I started feeling strange. It was as though my mother was shifting my position from being the last born to the first. The transition from childhood to adulthood was too sudden, too abrupt. It caught me off guard, but we didn't know what that meant. We did not know aging comes with its burdens and that it would have been better for us to remain how we were as innocent young lads.
This podcast is suitable for students between the ages of 16 to 25. If you're interested in self-improvement, productivity, study tips, this is the podcast for you.
Welcome to the Sweet and Sour Podcast.
My name is Abdumumuni Hikmat. I'm a student just like you. I'm passionate about personal development and productivity. So if this is your first time listening to this amazing voice, don't make it your last. If not, sweetie, you know how we roll now.
Let me hear you say H to the I to the Q, to the M to the A and the T. H to the I to the Q, to the M to the A and the T. H to the I to the Q, to the M to the A and the T.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. And on today's episode, I did a voiceover on a beautiful write-up by my guest who is on the show with me. And I just wanted us to get to know a little bit about the guest before you finally listen to the complete write-up, which is amazing. Thank you so much, Adedimeji Ahmad, for coming on the show with me. Please, would like to know more about you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ahmed Adedimeji Abobi, and I am a writer. Although a couple of times when people ask me what I do and I tell them that I write, I somehow inwardly feel as if, although I've been assured different times, many times, that, yeah, of course, I'm doing the right thing. Not as much that my writing is speaking a thing or two into the society. I'm very proud about that. I am an Anki graduate. I'm still an undergraduate of English at the University of Villari. So glad to be here. It's in my first time my story will be read. It's always a thing or two for me when people outside my reach, outside my contact, get to read me. It makes me feel so aloof that my piece is actually speaking something into the world, that my piece could be so impactful that someone else somewhere could feel the energy to share it with another person whom I don't know. And if nothing else, that's exactly what I want my writing to be for me, for people to read and to feel the need to share with another person because they actually gain something from it. Because that's exactly how we get to read books, how we get to know authors. Someone reads this, he recommends this to another person. I'm a creative and freelance writer because sometimes I freelance. But basically, I am a creative writer because I can't imagine anything taking my creative writing away from me. Well, it's a thing of pride for me because a couple of times that saved me from emotional drama, from emotional trauma, and all. I've been able to express myself properly with my creative writing.
I like to do this thing on my podcast. Just tell me three things you're grateful for today.
Presently in my life, the thing I'm grateful for, number one, is that anytime my mom sees me, she's always happy. I'm glad that I've proven to morph out of being a bad child that I was to becoming a boy who she could see and feel joy and feel that every penny she spent on me or every energy she's expended on me was worth it. That's the first on my list. The second on my list would be that I missed the societal influences. I am still able to hold on to my religion. Not even the societal influences, personal battles. Because I fight a lot of wars in my head. I fight different wars in my head. Anyways, I'm still glad I'm still a practicing Muslim. I'm still holding on to my religion, and inshallah, hopefully, I hope nothing takes that from me. And the third thing would be that I'm living. Yeah, that actually covers everything. That I'm living, honestly, because one of the greatest gifts I'm thanking my God for, that I'm, honestly, is that I'm still alive. You know, it is when you're alive, you think of achieving your goals. When you're alive, you think of... And then what can that? I got a news last week that someone very, very close to me died. And the person is very young. Oh, my God. The tough part about this thing is that you don't know how to change that things from east to worse. Someone you used east for yesterday and today becomes worse. That's honestly, I'm glad I'm still alive. Although, every time I wake up and I think of my aftermath of death, I always ask myself, what would be said about me? What would become of me when I die? I hope I turn out to be something good.
So, I really wanted to know what inspired this write-up, because it was just a link someone sent to me, and to be honest, you know, we don't really check out some of these things because I guess everybody's busy doing things, you know. But when I clicked on the story and I read the story, I was particularly interested because I felt like I could connect with many things, although I'm not a guy, yeah, but I felt like I could connect with, you know, the burdens of aging as you give it the perfect title. So tell me, what inspired the story?
You know, funny thing when you said, although you are not a guy, and you could still resonate with the piece, that was my aim. That was actually my intention behind the choice of word, the kind of allusion I'm going to employ in the piece. The craziest thing is that when some of my female friends read the piece and they shared some personal stuff with me, I felt like I was happy because I was feeling, oh, so something I wrote about myself could mean something to another person, and not even another person of my gender, another person of, you know, of another gender, which is, honestly, I'm still basking in that thought, actually. So what actually inspires the story was that I wrote it when I clocked, I can't quite remember, I think it was 22. Yeah, it wasn't even the age of 21, because the most treacherous age for me was 21, when I clocked 21. Because, you know, when you clock 20, honestly speaking, everyone, I don't know, but to me anyways, I feel like everyone looks forward to clocking 20. Because you're like, oh, mom, I want to become 20 years old. Because you want to cross out of that thing that people say about, you know, 19, you know. If they, when someone asks you how old are you and tell them 19, I'm gonna get Christian, yeah. You're still a young kid, you're still a kid. So everyone wants to get out of that teenish phase. So I wrote it when I clocked, I think it was 22, and I was just thinking about everything. I wrote that piece in, I think, at night. I was at my desk and it was in a single seat. I wrote it all, although the edit and all. In fact, I finished the edit minutes before sending it, publishing it on my Substack. So what inspires this story is that I have a couple of folks around me who just clocked 21, and they seemed, you know, happy. I had one that just clocked 20, and they all seemed happy about this stuff. And I wanted to tell them that, bro, the moment you clock 21 and when you are leaving that 21, life would become a burden for you. You start thinking of, because before you know it now, you start adding 9 years to yourself and boom, you're 30. And at 30, I feel like, honestly, life begins at 20, honestly, but technically life begins at 30, as most of us think, because especially for men. Yeah, 30 is the perfect age to marry or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But to me, anyways, life begins at 15, safe. Depends on the kind of environment you grew up in. Because some 15-year-olds have started even thinking of where they will become in the future and all of that. Although it might not be realistic anyway, but then they started thinking of stuff like that. Not to me, Sha. I think at 15, I was thinking of, let me see, of Ashwell Dwan and all of them. So it was actually a personal interaction with my folks, with my guys around me, whom I couldn't tell physically that, bro, this thing will happen to you, this thing will happen to you, this thing will happen to you. But I sure wanted to tell them, but I didn't know how to tell them. So I thought, okay, probably I should just write it as a letter. I wanted to write it as a letter to them, just send it to their DMs and but then I had a second thought, let me just write it by myself and see what comes out of it. So yeah, that's it.
Okay. So in 5 years time, let's wrap this up so my listeners can listen to your beautiful write up. So give us a brief where you see yourself in 5 years time go. Where do you see yourself in 5 years time?
You just placed one of my biggest fears before me. I always run away from that question every time I'm asked. Because I feel like life is unpredictable. When I was in JS1, I wanted to become a computer engineer. Because I saw a picture of a friend's brother who was in the US. I don't know whether he's still there, but then when the picture was with her, the person was in the US, and I was so fascinated by the way if I study computer engineering, I would get out of Nigeria quickly. But then when I got to JS3, I made up my mind. I said, I can never go to science department. I can never go to science department. So, so that's it. Although, in 5 years, one thing I would still be grateful for to be in my life is that I become a happier person. I hope to write more that have more impactful stories, even if they will be personal, but then people could resonate with it. And I hope not to lose my creativity ever. So on the material stuff now, starting from, let's say, next year, I don't see myself in Nigeria anymore. I'm not denying my country anyway, but
thank you so much for creating time to feature on this particular episode. Without wasting your time, amazing sweets, beautiful sweets, let's get right into the story. And I want to know what you think. Can you connect with the story as I have connected to it?
My mother started telling me to take responsibilities for myself when I clocked 16. It felt strange. I was used to people getting my things sorted out for me. At school, while I was still in secondary school, my mother would tell my brother to drop by at my school to pay my school fees. At the beginning of each term, my mother herself would travel down to the market to buy me new bags and socks and books and stationery. When she started telling me to go buy things by myself, to go fetch things by myself, to start telling myself anything that happens to me was my fault, I started feeling strange. It was as though my mother was shifting my position from being the last born to the first. The transition from childhood to adulthood was too sudden, too abrupt. It caught me off guard, but we didn't know what that meant. We did not know aging comes with its burdens and that it would have been better for us to remain how we were as innocent young lads. I first noticed some strands of hair on my armpits some days to my 17th birthday. At school, I was not shy of exposing my armpits to my classmates to show them the sprouts. It was a competition. It started when Abolu Sodu, a classmate, told us he had strands of hair growing around his groin. Since then, every morning in the bathroom, almost every one of us examined our shafts to check if we were growing up too. We stopped measuring aging by our ages. We stopped arguing who the older person was. Body development became our age measuring tool. Until mine came out, I was among the youngest in the class, but we didn't know what that meant. We didn't know aging comes with its burdens and that it would have been better for us to remain how we were as innocent young lads. The most treacherous age for me was 21. Clocking 20 seemed like a milestone, especially if you had known what a decade meant before clocking 20 and you assumed you're making two. I told my mother on my 20th birthday that today I become a man, as I thought that is the age manhood begins. My mother sent those words back into my throat and told me I had become a man since the day I showed her what came out of me. On one of the days I was watching 16 from afar, that night my mother sent me to buy bread at Uluyori. Our area at night is a dark hole that headlights from motorcycles seem like penetrations, but we weren't scared to walk it at night because it was safe, unlike now. As I was returning, I saw a light flashing from an uncompleted building. I didn't know what drove me there. I approached the building and met a man jerking a woman against the wall. The harder the man jerked, the fiercer the woman moaned. I stood there, watching them for some minutes before running home. As I was running, I had grown hard and it was dangling left, right in my trousers. When I got home, I showed my mother the melty water coming out of me and she spoke into my ears not to tell anyone and henceforth should stay away from my female friends. The transition from childhood to adulthood was too sudden, too abrupt. It caught me off guard. I was fascinated by those words she said to me. I knew what they meant. I had started taking biology as a subject in school. Before and at 20, all these were stupid, crazy fascinations. At 21, the burden of aging built on me and I started blaming 20 for coming. At 21, you grow loads of questions before yourself. How have I spent my last two decades? What would it be like to step into another decade? What exactly have I achieved so far? My 21st birthday met me on a transit returning from Ilorin to Iwo during the pandemic. On Facebook, I wrote some thoughts about what it meant to cross the border of teen, about imaginary houses of achievement I built for myself. It was mentally threatening, tracing and trudging down the memory lane of achievements. I was unable to pin out a tangible box of achievements I mold for myself. Being unable to draw a box for myself made me decide to start working harder, to start preparing so much before the half of a new decade. I told myself before 22, I should have been published in this Soul Journal. By 23, I should be enrolled into a writing program. Before 23 runs out, I should be planning to publish my debut novel. I have stopped tying my value of existence to my age. I threw myself into the pool of depression when I thought I should be what my age mates were becoming. I have a partner who is way younger than I am, but have achieved what I didn't achieve when I was their age. Tying success or value or achievements to age makes you think that you haven't achieved anything. I have stepped out of the former me and I am building a future for myself in every possible way I can. I am building it as the events unfold by themselves and not to achieve them before I clock a particular age. I have started telling the younger folks around me to be careful of age 21. It seems like a beautiful age to look up to, but it is the age that denies you everything you intend to become. You lose yourself into the hands of becoming as you age. You would believe to have become this or that at 21. I think you should continue living as life unfolds itself and pull to the very best of your ability every stone you can. If a stone feels larger than you are, try to pull, and if you can't, let it be and find another. You don't want to live your life as a clone of Sisyphus.
It's so nice to be here. I'm really, really glad. When Hikma reached out that she would love to read my, she would love to voice my work and invite me over, I felt so honored because sounds like this is the very first time that would be done for me. Thank you so much. And across all platforms, a simple search of Ahmed Adedimiji Amobi would actually bring out all my, across all social platforms, Ahmed Adedimiji Amobi, and there you have me. But my handle on Twitter and Instagram is at Ahmed Adedimiji, at Ahmed _ Adedimiji, and on Facebook, Ahmed Adedimiji Amobi. Thank you so much for having me. So nice to be here.